Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this particular episode of Four Center is the Clone Wars Report.
Dun, 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 dun.
That is the news, if the news had music by Metallica to yes. Introduce you to the news.
It's, I think, the same chords as the Back to the Future theme. I think I just stumbled onto that, but yes.
Perfect. Maybe somebody messes with the timeline at some point and Metallica actually does the score to Back to the Future. That would be weird and twisty. We always have some fun with a little bit of a news announcement. If you're just listening to the Clone Wars Report for the first time, that's what that is about. Ken provides the music. Anyway, I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is
Ken Napsuck.
And we are here to talk all about the Clone Wars. We are doing our chronological watch through, and we are on, this episode is called Rookies. It is season 1, episode 5. And the basic summary is that we have some clones that, if you're watching in chronological order, not the actual broadcast order, we have already met. They are stationed on a remote outpost on a Rishi moon, and they are there as one of the deterrents to watch for any possible invasion of Kamino. And what do you know? What happens? There is a possible invasion of Kamino, and these young titular rookies, these young clones we met previously, who are on their first assignment, have to team up with the more experienced clones of Cody and Rex and try to stop Invasion.
Invasion.
That deserves some music by Metallica as well. Invasion. So that's a basic summary of the episode. And the moral of the episode is the best confidence builder is experience. Ken, is that true?
It's 100%. And we'll dig into what I think that really means a little bit later when we dig into the big theme. But yeah, I'm a school of hard knock street smart guy. You know that. You know that old dad joke? Where'd you go to college? Went to life school.
On the streets. Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Do you when you see that? I really like looking at these morals from this perspective, is because we can look at them as a guide to what are the themes of the actual episode. We can sometimes just sort of glaze over them because they can sound generic if you don't spend some time with them. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, you can even disagree with them and go, "I don't think that's a good life lesson." But for you, I know you believe it in general philosophy, yeah. But is there like a life experience moment where you felt like, hey, I would have normally been nervous or unsettled in this moment, but I've lived this moment before. I have the experience, and that is what is giving me confidence.
I could break it down into simply, you know, my time in the kitchen right now. I'm learning to be a cook in my own house and doing a pretty good job of it. And that comes out of, I wanted to for years. I mean, we're talking back when I was a kid, I used to pretend to host a cooking show to an imaginary camera at 5, 6, or 7. I was making my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to, at the time of this recording, last night, I did my first Twitch cooking stream. You know, and
nice.
To get to that point comes from just like getting in there and knowing that you can fail and knowing that what you tried and you didn't. On a bigger theme, some mental health, welfare kind of situations, you know, someone who suffers from depression. I mean, come on, who doesn't, right? But now someone who had some really dark times and some close calls and spent some time in therapy, for me, it's something that's still there. But something I know I have the experience to know that, hey, I got through it and I can continue to choose to try to get through it. You know, I think it's an ongoing battle, to be clear. It's a bigger, deeper, nuanced conversation. But to take it to that level, too, where some of the experiences aren't what I would have wanted in life, but I got through them and I now see, you know, how they built me up a little bit.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense to be in a moment that you know is challenging and is not fun to have to make it through. But having had that experience that you've made it through before and kind of know that you're going to, is that?
Yeah. And just knowing, yeah, I don't know. It's the, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger vibe. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to maybe frame it, but that's why, you know, that word experience can sometimes be, I don't know, like you want that to be just super positive stuff. Like I cooked that tofu teriyaki bowl last night. That was a great experience versus I had my heart broken and I wanted to kill myself and I got through it. And that was an experience too. It's the same word.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have definitely had my heart broken, but I have never made the tofu teriyaki. So I don't have your full experiences. So. But that's great. I'm so happy to hear that you're doing the cooking show. Mm. And I love imagining young Ken Nabsock doing a peanut butter and jelly cooking show because that seems like something that should be on TikTok. Like, hey, here's my cooking show. It's really only going to take 30 seconds. It's peanut butter and jelly.
It's so funny where life takes you where exactly you kind of wanted to go from the start. You know, when I'm in my in my room at 12 talking about Star Wars, baseball and fantasy things into a boombox. And here I am doing it with you now professionally. And then, the cookie show. I used to sit there and talk. All right, then you take the jelly and you spread it. evenly. No one was in the room. Yeah, no one was in the room. No one was in the kitchen. And there were no cameras. So anyways, like the force works in mysterious ways.
The force. Yes, yes, absolutely. The force takes us to where we need to be. I used to talk to my teddy bear about Star Wars, and you, Ken, are a much better talking partner. Chocolate did his best, it's much better to talk with you about it. Thank you for taking the time to dig in a little bit more on that, because this one really just hit me on a visceral level. I mean, I think sometimes I engage with these morals on a more like intellectual level of having really fun breaking down the big themes of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But I think this one spoke to me because it's an experience that I have a lot where I sometimes beat myself up for having done a lot of different things in life, a lot of different kinds of performances, or, you know, doing visual art and playing the drums and then kind of changing the kind of performance I do a million times. And then I have these experiences where I've got to do something. And on its face, it's a new experience. The first time I did a pitch for a show that I wrote that I was trying to sell. And, you know, and I get all this advice of like, well, a pitch is like this, a pitch is like that. Don't do it this way. Don't screw it up. This is the way, you know, like, and you can see it in your mind. And I kind of did is, oh, it's a pitch. It's a scary new thing. And then when I sat down to prepare for it, it's like, it's storytelling. It's comedy. It's talking to someone and trying to get your idea across, but being ready to hear their ideas and pivot with it. Like, oh, that's called podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and having that sudden rush of not cockiness, but confidence that this is still a new thing. This is still a challenge. I still have to bring, you know, my absolute best to bear, but I have experience and all of these instincts kick in this thing that is new and is scary, is not as scary as you thought, because you have these experiences that you take for granted.
I think
a lot of people have those experiences from like different parts of their life that they can bring to bear on, you know, other parts of their life.
Yeah.
But we don't always think of it that way. We think of it as a new scary thing.
Yeah. And then moving forward has a sense of, it's really well earned, and at times it can be bittersweet or painful. I think even this episode will discuss that. But even what you're talking about, I'm just like, there you go. I got there. I did it.
Yeah, yeah. I had the experience that I needed to be confident and do my best. And with that, let's dive into the actual episode. What was your overall reaction? Did you love it, like it, struggle with it?
No, I do love it. And this is one of the ones I would remember, even in those times where we weren't talking about Star Wars on a podcast, or I didn't have a YouTube show to swing by with 49 Funko Pops to talk about Star Wars. This is one of the ones I'll be like, oh yeah, I like that episode. Even though I couldn't remember, it was Fives and Echo and Heavy and all that kind of stuff. And Cut Up, who I definitely want to talk about, poor guy. And watching it again, the reward of chronological. I every week I'm like, I'm not going to mention that. No, this is one of the best, just clear cut examples of seeing why George would have said in any way, shape or form, as it's been, Filoni's talked about everything of just going, hey, these characters, we should go back and learn about them. The prequel to Rookies, Clone Cadets, like I really felt it really was a great example of how valuable that was, and how I will not make fun of the chronological order anymore, like I used to, of like, what a crazy Cartoon Network. And like, no, what doesn't matter to me now? This is has great value. And I think it enriched my experience in this episode again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's great, because I think you touched on a couple different ideas. One, that it's really interesting to think of, instead of just go like, well, what kind of a mess is this, to go, well, why did Lucas or Filoni or whoever all involved, most likely Lucas, decided to go back and fill in some of these beats. Why did they do it? It's interesting to think of it from that perspective of, ooh, we want to flesh out these characters or this idea even more.
Right.
But then it's also interesting to say, well, at a certain point, we can just let it go, because this is the text. Mm-hmm. And if you watch it in the order, the chronological order, it's the text. And you can just enjoy it from the perspective of, we got to know these clones already. We knew which challenges they were facing. Now we get to see them one more step along their path of growth. And this is definitely the second step. Mm. And that other episode is definitely the first step, right?
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I think one of the other reasons that I like this episode myself and why it has similarly stuck with me in my imagination, where other episodes of Clone Wars, like, I absolutely love them and I think about them all the time, or other ones I'm like, oh yeah, didn't that happen in that episode? This one sticks in my mind, I think, because it's such a small, intimate little story with very few characters. I love that it's a small scale story with just these huge stakes of, like, yeah. It feels like, well, it's these, you know, handful of clones on this far-flung moon. We're kind of getting to see their day-to-day of kind of living through the war and serving. But it has these huge stakes of, but Kamino could be destroyed. Yeah. And all of their clone brothers could be murdered and the war could be over.
This, to me, is if you were to go into the Lord of the Rings world and say, we're going to do an entire episode, maybe that Amazon series coming out. We're going to do an entire episode of the two guys sitting up at the Beacons of Gondor hut. You know, if those two guys aren't paying attention, they don't see the flame, or they're attacked by some orcs and they don't take their job seriously, the beacons aren't lit, right? And Rohan falls and Gondor falls. So I love what you're saying, because I thought of that a couple times. I think it's the part of the lesson of the episode we'll discuss in a second. But yeah. It's George going, this big giant war, let's break it down and have fun, if you can, and telling a war story of the individual characters and moments that make the big fabric of this story.
Yeah, no, exactly. One of the other things I like, just kind of paying attention to how the Clone Wars animated series grows and evolves, these first handful of episodes, you know, we start with a Yoda standalone episode, in terms of the main being a main character with some massage. Then we kind of get this big sprawling adventure with Plo Koon, but also, like, your standards. You got Obi-Wan, you got Anakin, you got Ahsoka, all sorts of, you know, main characters, Grievous. And then there's something about this one that it's absolutely starring the clones, but it's almost making a point of the Jedi being on the periphery. Like, mm-hmm, it's not that they're not there. Mm. They are there in the episode going, what's going on? What should we do? Is there a problem? And there's something powerful about that, even more powerful than I think later episodes will you just be standalone. And, you know, it doesn't matter where Obi-Wan or Anakin is, but that this episode, the clones are on their own. And it's got that great tension of, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin, you are just watching screens.
Well, yeah.
Why aren't you doing anything? And it reinforces that the clones have to be, that they're not just the backup of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
That they are the story narratively,
yeah,
and in the story of the war, sometimes they absolutely must stand alone while the Jedi are figuring out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, this will pop up again when we get to things we questioned, looking at my notes, but I'm glad you're discussing it in terms of themes and the value of, and to me, the value of watching anything, but particularly Star Wars, of seeing what's there for you to watch and what's there for you to learn from. And I think there's great value in this episode, things to learn, and then there's things to watch and go, oh, come on, Obi-Wan. So, but we'll talk more excellent about that later, oh, from my point. And so you and I are in sync here again on how we reacted to it.
Excellent. I'm so excited to dig in to the things you disliked or questioned. But for now, let's talk about the big themes. Obviously, experience is right there in the title.
Yeah,
I'm sure that connected for you. What ideas were at stake in this episode? Was it experience the big thing that, mm-hmm, that spoke to you?
Here's what I wrote down of a collection of themes. Not being afraid to learn. And this goes to the idea of experience and what experience. Experience is not always kind of tying to what I said up top. But experience is not always what you want it to be. Right. So not being afraid to learn from that. There is an angle of, and I totally understand. I always seem to bring up some teaching or coaching angles. I know that I have a lot of experiences in that. I don't necessarily know why. It's just maybe where my instincts go sometimes. But not being afraid to teach. There's definitely an angle of Cody and Rex dealing with the shinies, which is a very realistic thing. They are learning. They are inexperienced. And I think it's important for the inexperienced people out there in the world to realize they're inexperienced. There's some power in that too. Again, going to the not being afraid to learn. We've all been 21 and going, I got all the answers. Now you can just broadcast that on TikTok. I'm sorry, I'm stopping. But giving credit to Rex and Cody for not constantly just having the I'll earn you something good. Just needing to, they're forced to work with them. They're forced to teach them and forced to grow with their students. And that's valuable too. And then the final one, and we can dive into stuff, but you're important even when you feel you're not. And going to what you just said, the clones could have undercut their value. In fact, you could argue at the beginning of the episode, they are undercutting their value. They're not understanding their full value. And maybe they don't understand that experience is happening even when you're not feeling it's happening. And so they could have undercut that value. And that would have, as you said, it would have affected the fate of the galaxy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think those are great themes. I really like that the opening newsreel, beautiful shouting by Tom Kane, which I absolutely love and love focusing on, because there's the way the episodes are framed. It's not just exposition to set up the action. It tells you so much. And this one had a reminder that the Jedi are spread really thin. They can't be everywhere. So it's not like the Jedi are doing all the important jobs is what that tells me. But then it, to your point, it really says because the war is advancing so quickly, clones are being put out in the field before they're as thoroughly trained as had been planned.
Right.
And that one that speaks to me again of like, there's so much stuff in these early seasons about like, look at all the ways the Jedi and the Republic had to compromise immediately, you know, partnering with crime lords, blah, 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 on and on. But it also, to your point, this isn't a story about the rookie clones being cocky because they're dumb and young. It starts from the perspective of, by the institutions they are part of, they were not properly prepared, and we had to throw them out there before they had the experience we would like them to have, which just, to me, puts you in this perspective of having empathy for them. And like, yeah, they're you know, humans, they're flawed, they might be making mistakes, but it's also like already the institution has let them down, and that informs, I think, the way Rex and Cody are they have to learn them, but they're also kind and encouraging because they know what it is to be a shiny, and they know that these shinies have it even worse because they were thrown out before they were fully trained.
Right. Yeah, that's a good reminder, even for me in other areas of life too. I won't give it. Yeah. I won't go into specifics because we'll upset people in my circle and industry.
To Force Center for the deep thoughts on Star Wars. Stay for the slightly mysterious statements we both make sometimes.
Sorry, sometimes we do this podcast as a show, a form of entertainment and analysis. But there's those very real moments where you learn about yourself during these shows and episodes and movies. And so that's you just said something that made me go, oh yeah, I do that. I got to stop that.
But don't be too hard on yourself. I think. I was so interested in that idea of how we treat inexperienced people as mentors. What was the second theme that you had mentioned?
Not being afraid to teach. Not being afraid to. I mean, it kind of goes with what you said. I love that you pointed out that there is an inexperience. An extra layer of inexperience in these clones that we love so much, because we saw clone cadets, right? Yeah, we saw they went through to get to this point. It's like, yeah, you fought so hard to graduate. Shakti gives you the rah rah rah, go out and conquer the galaxy for the Republic, defend the Republic speech, and then you're here at this way station, isn't that? And a lot of that's not their fault, and things have changed, circumstances have changed, and even in a short amount of time, because Rex and Cody, it's not like this is I remember 20 years ago when I graduated from Kamino. Like, their experience, they're just slightly ahead of them on the scale, but in this war, that is the equivalent of years. To acknowledge that, like, it's not that you're inexperienced, you have some things going on that you can't stop, so I'm not going to hold that against you.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a ton of sense. And I was just going to throw in there that I love that Sarge, something has happened in Sarge's life that he's already gone gray, unless that's a fashion choice, and he's dying his hair. But like, those have been a rough, few months, a year, whatever it is, into the Clone Wars. That you're already gray.
Yep.
Amazing. Some of the themes, absolutely the big themes of experience, I think are the spine of this episode. But some details within that really resonated to me is kind of this theme of identity. because that's at stake whenever the clones are on screen, and has already been emphasized by Yoda telling them that they're all unique in the Force, by Plo Koon telling them that they are not expendable, by us, you know, meeting them in earlier episodes and realizing that they are unique and that there's a reason that they have different names, because those names are who they are, because even though they are clones, they are already naturally different, flowing in organic, not rigid, all those things. So that's always at stake with the clones. And what was really interesting in this episode to me is that that gets reinforced in the specific idea of kind of their identity emerging from why they choose to fight. That, yep, they're sort of born into being soldiers, born into being defenders of the Republic. But that gets underlined by Sarge saying, you know, that they were born on our homeworld of Kamino. And suddenly that makes it an identity that I think a lot of us can relate to, of that identity of where are you from? You know, where you're from is a part of who you are. And Kamino is not where they were grown or launched from, right? It's their home. It's where their other brothers live. And I think, you know, Kamino as a sense, as a place of identity, was really powerful to me. And then this idea of they are shinies and they want to become not shinies. And the episode ends, you know, with Fives and Echo becoming a part of the 501st. All that sort of boiled up to me in being a great picture of, as characters, what are these specific clones fighting for? They're not just fighting for the Republic. They are fighting to protect their home planet, their place that gives them identity. They are fighting to defend their brothers. And on like a personal level, they are fighting to become the best versions of themselves. They realize they are shinies now, and they want to be something more. And I just really love all of that, because it makes it not just like we were born, you know, programmed to defend the Republic, so we're doing it. But it they have all these personal reasons that are meaningful to them as a group and as individuals that propel them forward in the war.
Yeah, you get the Force Center, well said. But and I love that this episode, that moment with that sergeant said, everything can just go back and add a little more power to Attack of the Clones. A movie, you know, ranked lower, maligned, all those things, you know, it's things that I've even been a part of, but just to make you go back and watch even what you're seeing there with a little more depth.
The other idea that I really liked, that I think is kind of the tool by which experience is discussed up to a point, is this great back and forth between regulations versus creativity. And if you had a scoreboard, they would both get some marks, right? Because it's not this, it, the lesson of this episode is about experience. And to your point, I think, you know, characters are learning the experience of, oh, sometimes regulations are great. Sometimes following the rules is really awesome. And then other times they're learning, oh, sometimes you got to bend the rules or think outside of the box or do unexpected things. And it's not an episode that's really like, you know, the flowing in organic is so much better than the mechanical and rigid of regulations. It's like everybody gets to be right. One of my very favorite lines, Echo says, yeah, the giant eels. That's why we have the regulation to not go outside. And of course, you know, Rex comes in with all of this creative thinking. Heavy is not really at the beginning, not taking the basic regulation seriously. He's not thinking, what's the point of just staring out at this video where there's not going to ever be anything different? You know, we get that. There's a great back and forth between Anakin versus Obi-Wan about Obi-Wan really being a little, he certainly does have moments of creativity and thinking outside the box. But in his relationship with Anakin, I think, you know, when Obi-Wan goes off by himself and is left alone, he does weird, creative, out of the box things. But I think he's so concerned about Anakin and being a mentor, whenever Obi-Wan defines himself in contrast to Anakin, Obi-Wan is suddenly all about the rules and the regulations, because he's worried about Anakin, you know, flying off the hook. And I love that they have that back and forth, not only about themselves in the way that they're searching for Grievous, but then they extend that out to the clones that they spend time with. We get that moment where Obi-Wan says, that Cody, he's a good man. You know, he follows rules and regulations. And Anakin's basically, you know, thinking how great Rex is. And they even have that great back and forth where, you know, Obi-Wan is so, you know, determined that, like, well, if there's a problem, they would call in because they follow the rules. And Anakin says, well, maybe Cody is just boring Rex with rules and regulations. So, like, it's not a, like, hard to find sub theme. Yep. It is so elevated to there are moments where regulations are absolutely what need to be followed. And the experience of knowing what the rules are is powerful. And then there's most moments where the experience of knowing you have to think outside the box are valuable.
Yeah, look, we're going to talk about that scene with Anakin and Obi-Wan again. but it's built into the character of Echo, who has it because he echoes the rules or echoes the regulations. That's what we see in the Clone Cadet episode. Like, I think it's great. I think this is an episode that does preach the balance of those things. You and I have some pretty solid formats of our shows. We got to be organic enough to flow if we need it or be aware of it. That's why we make these jokes of, I know we're going to talk about it later. It's because we know what's coming, but we know when it pops up and we want to talk about it within the show. I have personal experiences of being a disaster preparedness instructor and trainer on a big scale and going, here's a 200-page manual of what you're going to do in an earthquake or an active shooter situation, everything. Guess what? You're going to need to remember two sentences in here because that's all your brain's going to take that until you get the experience or until you live it, you know? So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it comes up constantly and it's in this particular episode and it's great, valuable.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about how these themes of this individual episode reflect any larger storytelling, morality, perspective of Star Wars. What jumped out at you is kind of being big Star Wars themes being supported or discussed in this episode.
There was some. A moment, there's a couple moments. Gosh, I had a weird situation where my Google Drive didn't capture the notes on my phone and put it on my computer, so I've had to reconstruct them. I apologize. There was a quote of one of the commando droids kind of like, hey, four clones escaped. Whatever. They're not valuable. Grievous echoes some of that too. And to me, just this, a lot in the Clone Wars, but the bigger idea in Star Wars of, you and I talked on the Star Wars Ranked of Leia recognizing Wicket as an ally, where the Empire would just see them as teddy bears to dominate, right? Like, I think that's one of the bigger things too. If you hear, you see the separatists, particularly that clone commando, particularly Grievous, not obviously they're fighting them. It's a different perspective, but just like they don't even value the clones at all to see them as threats. They are just names or they're just numbers and laser blaster targets, you know what I mean? Like they don't value, so therefore because they don't value them, they are then defeated by the actual beings who they are.
Yeah, yeah, and it's got that great classic underdog theme of like, well, what could four clones how could they possibly stop us with all of our awesome might and all of our overwhelming numbers, and that's where this balance of regulations and creativity, like, well, through a mix of regulations and creativity,
right. Yeah.
They can defeat you and you see them as so much less than you because it's just four basic clones. Right. It's not a Jedi or anything.
Yep. Yeah. We saw that in the ambush episode a lot. I mean, I think there's a lot of that there, but it's a feeling too that, in Rogue One, make 10 men feel like 10,000 or whatever, it's part of the Rebel Alliance. It's part of that kind of side fighting in Star Wars. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. For myself, we've been talking a lot about the do or do not quote from Yoda and what exactly does it mean? Is that advice for a specific moment? Is that advice for always? And damn, if good old Rex didn't, in my mind, just paraphrase do or do not, there is no try.
Totally.
He has that great line of, we have to retake the base, so we will retake the base.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was just that was like one of his moments where he wasn't like just giving an order. That was one of the concrete moments to me where I feel like he was teaching.
Totally.
Where he was saying, regulations are great, but we know we want to get between point A and point B. So our goal now is to be open to all sorts of ideas of how we're going to do that. We're going to believe in ourselves that we can do that.
Mm.
Because starting out with the belief that we might not be able to is going to undermine us. But more than anything, it's a puzzle. And we have to solve that puzzle. And I really like that sort of perspective on the do or do not. There is no try.
I love that we keep coming back to it. I think it was a question on the main show that kind of popped up recently. I think I believe it was our pal Alden Diaz asking the question about that quote and how it can change and evolve. And it could be easily misinterpreted. And it's also pretty direct and simple at the same time. Yeah, there's something. I just did an episode on my Knapsack Files podcast this week with a friend and actor Scott Antonucci, and we were talking about doubt and career doubt and everything, and we both kind of stumbled onto this catchphrase of turning the volume down on doubt. And I look at that Yoda quote too of failure is or not succeeding is definitely an option in retaking this base, right? In this scenario, that's very happy. But it seems like Rex to me is just like, turn down that volume, commit to what we got to do. It still might not happen. It still might be something we have to deal with. There might be a next chance we have to take, But going into it, do or do not is that that's more in line with that do or do not to me.
So I like that it's not just like pretend it isn't a problem. It's a big problem, but we just we have to find a way. And I think it's also kind of a commentary on that regulation versus creativity balance of like, yeah, there isn't this isn't in the handbook. There isn't the, you know, hey, have you been invaded by commando droids and they've hardwired the all clear sign? Then in that case, hit the blue button, right?
Yeah.
So we see Rex display all this creativity of, you know, sticking the droid's head in the camera and, you know, pretending to be a droid and coming up with the, you know, totally out of the box, like, well, we'll blow up the base then.
Yeah.
But then that is supported by Echo's knowledge of the regulations that he knows about the liquid Tabana. So I love that moment for Echo of like, yeah, no, I did the homework and I know something about this base that other people are forgetting because I care about these what appear to be mundane details.
Right.
And I can turn that knowledge of the mundane into something literally explosive.
Yeah.
Because we have to retake the base. So we will retake the base.
There you go. Yeah. The balance, you know, being prepared on both directions. You got to know where those corridors are, but you got to be free to run around different corridors too. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Did you have any other big sort of a thematic, larger Star Wars storytelling ideas that jumped out to you?
No, just, I think I touched upon a little bit of the, you know, you're important when you, even when you feel you're not, I think that is a big, big theme in Star Wars, and finding the value in yourself and those around you, when often others don't. I think that's a one of many big lessons in Star Wars, and I loved seeing it here.
Yeah, and it is very literal. We learned that they are putting up all these different listening stations, these outposts. This is literally a link in the chain, right? And every link is important.
Yeah, those beacons of Gondor.
Those beacons of Gondor. The last kind of larger theme that I wanted to highlight for myself is that Star Wars in general has an idea towards, you know, its balance of how you win wars, how you fight wars. I really like that a lot of these stories in the Clone Wars, when we're getting down to the action, it's so often about defense. And again, this is an episode that's all about defense. This is a station that is there to defend against the possibility of an invasion. The kind of ultimate emotional motivating factor for these clones is, hey, if they break through, they will destroy our home planet. They will kill our brothers. It's all so much from the perspective of defense of, you know, there's an aggressor and we're going to stand up and say no to the aggressor. Mm-hmm. And I like that this is continuing to be a theme in the Clone Wars animated series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we are going to not defend from a break. We are going to accept it organically. We're going to let it wash over us and we're going to enjoy it. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to dig into all of the great details of comedy, action, canon, all that kind of great stuff. And some things that are maybe challenged us. Is Ken going to say something about Obi-Wan that's going to upset me? Find out after the break.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out.
The following is a presentation of the 4Center podcast feed.
And we are back to discuss all the action, the comedy, the fun moments. Did Obi-Wan make a mistake? Is that even possible? Yes, of course it is. It's a part of his character. He's very flawed, and I love him anyway. The point is, we're back. We are back. Ken, let's talk about action moments. Did you have some favorite action moments in a pretty action-packed episode of The Clone Wars?
Yeah, no, actually, that's the first point I wanted to make. There was a lot to choose from, so I focused on a couple little ones. One, I'm trying to reconcile what I where my heart is on this one, Joseph, because it's just kind of cool violence. And it reminds me a little of one of my favorite moments in Young Guns, a movie built on violence as well. I love when Rex shoots the commando droid in disguise right in the head on a hunch, on a whim, on experience. That could have gone bad. I do love even the reaction. What do you do? There's a moment in Young Guns where Billy the Kid snuffs out the traitor that is the spy that is Dirty, not Dirty Steve, the other character, and he shoots him in the head, and it's very violent, and I'm not glorifying it, but it just was like, this reminded me of that moment. I was like, that's cool. Rex knew. He did the right thing. So I don't know. It's a weird answer, Joseph, but I liked it.
I mean, I across all the action, I really liked Rex one shot. And was really powerful, because I think this episode was dancing right on the edge of, you know, it's having fun with the Roger, is having fun with the commando droid pretending to be a clone. But when the droid signed off with Roger and, you know, Rex and Cody weren't immediately on top of it, it danced right on the edge of making our, you know, intelligent, experienced, accomplished clones feel like dum-dums.
Dum-dums, yeah.
So, to me, that felt like course correction and was just like a super cool move of just like another moment that it underlines the confidence of experience of like, I'm not 50-50. I got this, you know, this evidence and this feeling in my gut, and I'm 100% sure. I'm this sure, you know?
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yes.
My favorite action moment, and I got a couple, but my favorite was Rex's other one-shot moment where he just casually shoots the giant eel in the eye.
You're right.
Which is like, it's just cool, right? Mm-hmm. That he's got great aim. He's got these two double blasters, but he only needs one this time.
Yeah.
It's another moment of like triumphing, underlining, celebrating experience of like, the other clones are like, a giant eel, what the hell do we do? And Rex is like, I've been in wars. I've played video games. You shoot it in the eye.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Right? I had forgotten that moment. When the eel comes back, I was like, what did they do to... that's right. He shot in the eye. All right. And it's good. I love it. I love a good moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great action moment. Just cool. Unfortunate with the eel, but it is definitely kill or be killed moment there, because that eel.
It's the Mudhorn.
Already swallowed, cut up.
The Mudhorn and Mandalorian, too. I have a lot of sympathy for the Mudhorn.
Yeah, yeah. other action moments that spoke to you?
I liked Heavy being a Heavy just before his big sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What about it spoke to you?
And I guess I should say I include the big sacrifice in that. What a powerful kind of the horrors of war moment, a hero being a hero. But, just simply going to Battlefront 2, that's my class of trooper I play more than any other level. It's leveled up super high. The other ones, not so much. Just bringing out the, if he had the barrage grenades, it would have been even better for me. But just boom, it's great. Random grenade tosses are my favorite thing. So I just liked it. It was just one of those pew, pew, pew of it all moments. You could see it, and then it's immediately followed up with like, oh, gut punch. But I like that moment too.
Yeah, that was also on my list. I love that because it is just like the video game of it all. I love that Heavy likes the Heavy gun. It's so fun to watch an episode of Star Wars television show and be like, I've done that. But the thing I really liked about it is it matches the video game of that blaster is that Heavy cannon going in full cannon mode like Heavy's using it is absolutely great if you have support from other clones.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you're just a sitting target and you get sniped real quick if you just walk out into a clear hallway and just like, oh, there are a bunch of people walking towards me. You mow some of them down, but you're also making yourself super, super vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that's kind of what's happening in this scene of like, yeah, he can mow down. It's real effective at the door when he has support. Right. But when he's just alone in a hallway, it's kind of cool. You know, and it ties into that quote of, you know, what is it? Big gun doesn't make a big man. Yeah. Big gun doesn't make a big man.
Mm.
And all sorts of ideas. I want to talk a little bit more about Heavy's sacrifice, but for now we'll appreciate the action moment and the function that I think should be on every video game Heavy gets to do. Gun's not useful anymore to fire projectiles. I'll throw it at people.
That would save me a lot on Battlefront 2, because I need to learn the lesson you've just talked about. I am often like, here we go, dead. So, yes, I want to throw the gun too.
Yeah, always love it when the hero actually just throws the gun as its own projectile weapon. Last action moment for me is, you know, this was our introduction to the commando droids. So cool. And I love that we got to see their signature creepy flip when Rex and Cody blast one good and then it just flips back up in that weird, creepy way.
Yeah, good moment.
Yeah, creepy commando flip. Mm-hmm. I'm always about a creepy commando flip. Yeah. Any other action moments for you?
I mean, there was certainly a lot. So I did like the Republic fleet come out, and I like that Grievous was like, "We're outgunned," and I'm like, "Really? That?" Because in like Battle of Coruscant, but no, look at that, you guys are, and I like that moment.
Yeah, no, I did like that. That was the resolution, and he just left. That's it. Yeah. They defended Kamino this time. Did you have a favorite moment of comedy or whimsy or weirdness?
Yeah, you mentioned I did enjoy the beefier Roger.
Yes,
as someone
low voiced Roger.
I felt this moment. I kind of remember watching it when it was happening and felt it was speaking to me, someone who did not like the Roger the very first second I heard it in Phantom Menace. It was the first I was like, wait, what? But became, you know, shared inside jokes that I'd use on my old radio at work and everything. But so I felt this moment was like, it's okay if they say Roger. It can be said like this too. So I don't know. I like that a lot. I did love the line. It's so into your theme you talked about earlier about the Jedi not being there, the clones on their own, but just, we could use a Jedi about now. Like, yeah, you could. Well, couldn't we all? But you can't. And the final thing, I'm sure it's probably on your list too, because it's such a fun moment. It's, and you and I just did the big fantasy versus, you know, romance versus realism and realistic stuff in Star Wars. The Republic Army Radio, the Grand Army of the Republic radio station, sending it out to the boys on Mimban. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, the mud jumpers on Mimban. Yeah, that's really, really great. And it just has this very much like pulling from World War II, that there's a lot of that vibe going on in the Clone Wars stories. The boredom of, but let's listen to the radio and let's listen to our favorite robot announcer.
Yeah.
All great. For myself, I already mentioned the line, but I just love it of, that's why we have the regulation not to go outside.
Yeah.
Such a great understatement and such a great, like, having fun with Echo's character, but reinforcing that, you know, sometimes being a nerd and doing the homework, you'll know that you're going to get eaten by a giant eel if you do the homework.
Yeah. Always a bigger eel.
And a bigger eye for Rex to shoot, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a ton of just sort of Clone Wars jargon, which I think is great verisimilitude that these clones would come up with their own language. You know, the term shinies, we get a bunch of stuff like that. But I like that when Rex called their helmets sunbonnets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. That's a great turn of phrase.
Love that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm trying to even think of like a real world, comparison. But why? Yeah. It's so beautiful by it, the way it is. Take your sunbonnets off. The ongoing sort of comedy with the droids, which we've talked about a lot, and I think this starts to get to it. This is that segue to like, in Attack of the Clones, we got the B2 battle droids. The droidicas have always been scary.
Yeah.
Then we get the commando droids, and they are really elite, and they have more. They have better armor and they're faster and smarter and they got swords. And it's this great, you know, to me, it's this picture of the separatist army is all about means of production and money. And these are the ones that are going to be more expensive because they're better and they even have deeper voices and they're scarier. And it really turns the battle droids, the basic B1s, into like, sometimes they can swarm and overwhelm you.
Right.
But they are low cost, cheap. Their only value is really swarming and overwhelming. And I think like some of the comedy beats of this get to that with these commando droids being able to kind of half-ass pretend to be a clone and even having the deeper voice and being legitimately frightening is all great contrast to the sort of comedy of the battle droids.
Mm-hmm. Scary, yeah.
Yeah, and I liked the through line because we've seen it just in the last episode arc of Malevolence. There's one moment where the B1 operating Grievous's ship has to report something that's not great and then immediately flinches as though Grievous is going to knock his head off. I was able to enjoy that even more because the commando droids put the B1, the poor cannon fodder, cheaply produced, not great at their job, B1 battle droids into perspective.
Growing past the B1s.
Poor B1s. Poor B1s. So moving on, let's talk any favorite Star Wars canon or lore or connections to other stories. What kind of connections, either big picture stuff or just fun, like, hey, they mentioned that thing again, spoke to you.
I'll start with the little things here. Rishi, you know, the Rishi Maze Kamino connection, taking you back to the Attack of the Clones is great. Mentioned the Mimban reference. I got to say, I knew there was a Mimban reference in Clone Wars with the mud jumpers, right?
The mud jumpers on Mimban.
Yeah, so that was in my head. I don't think I would have remembered it was this moment with the radio character. So I love that a lot. And then just seeing that the Trade Federation invasion ship model number escapes me, showing up, opening up, and it made me miss, talking about Phantom Menace, made me miss the droid racks.
Nice.
I understand as you just said, we've moved past those battle droids, but in story, I think that still is one of my favorite little sounds, images, and just little sequences in Star Wars of those droids slowly coming out on those droid racks.
Oh yeah, I love the droid racks. They're super creepy and such a great contrast to the, you know, organic Gungans with their, you know, plasma shields and on the nice grass. And then here come these horrible little, funny but horrible little machines of death all folded up in their rack.
Yeah, and I know the transports come out of the invasion ship, and I get the details of that, but just like the whole sequence just made me think about it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. I love the Rishi thing too. I love just some of the consistency of like, yep, that's technology in Star Wars. I loved the gatekeeper droid, the TT-8L/Y7, being present again. Yeah. And you can put together a great supercut of people trying to deceive or deal with those droids. I love Liquid Tabana. You know, that was like, you know, going back to being a kid growing up with the original trilogy, like that was one of Tabana Gas was one of those details that I, you know, remembering from a very young age. And that's the kind of thing of like, you're on the playground and people are like, Luke Skywalker's awesome. He's got a lightsaber. That's cool. But if you're like, yeah, and then Tabana Gas, then suddenly like, that's not cool. That's not cool. Okay. back in the day from my life experiences. So I always have a good connection to Tabana, and I like not only its presence, but again, how Echo used it. So that one made me really happy.
Yeah. Were you on the playground, like if everyone wanted to play pew, pew, pew and lightsaber, and you're like, does anyone want to manage our Tabana gas supplies today?
I wasn't quite that brave. I knew Tabana was a thing to be kept to myself at all costs.
That's fine. It reminds me of a story in kindergarten. I used to watch MASH, you know, dating us there. And you know, on the playground, I had some friends, and I gathered around, and I'm like, today, and we're not going to play Army. Today we're going to play MASH. And I made my friends wait for the helicopters to deliver the injured. And one by one, my friends got bored and just went to other parts of the playground. So I understand. I feel you, Joseph.
I mean, my thing was I wanted a narrative. I didn't want to just pretend that we were hitting each other. I wanted there to be a story. And that was a non-starter. So just running around screaming. That's what we got.
Love it.
No narrative, just action. Any other canon lore connections that you enjoyed?
In terms of just lore, we did talk about Heavy's sacrifice. Sacrifice is big in a lot of stories, obviously, but a lot of fantasy myths and all that kind of stuff. I just think I think because I had a reaction, I was like, yeah, he's being a Heavy. Oh, I totally forgot he sacrifices himself. You know, that goes to Obi-Wan, goes to Luke, goes to a lot of characters, and I like that kind of connection.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to follow up because I need to wrestle a little bit with Heavy's sacrifice.
Okay.
So the last thing for me is it's not, you know, a super big thing, but, you know, just the fact that there are giant eels on the Rishi Moon outpost. We talked a lot about, you know, romance versus realism, and I bang on about, like, I want Star Wars to be weird. I like that reminder. And even in this episode, that's like, these are boots on the ground. There are no Jedi. They're creepy, you know, manufactured droids. It's a listening outpost. You know, it's all very technical as far as Star Wars goes, but I always like it when like, and then also there are giant eels that pop out of catacombs on this weird alien moon and they'll just swallow you armor and everything. I like that feeling that that even when we're in the more technical, more sci-fi side of Star Wars, that literally outside the window is a giant, horrible fantasy beast.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I love that. It goes to the center of Empire, right? And Exegorth and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's get into things that we disliked or questioned. Let's dig into your concerns.
All right, yeah. I'll start... Dislike's not the right word, but I could, again, going to the idea of we see why George may have gone back. Now, I don't know the details of were these scripts written and then they said, well, let's air that one now or go back, or was it like this aired and then George said, you know, or anyone on the team, Henry Gilroy, said, hey, we should go back and explain these characters more. I don't know how that goes, but poor cut up is all I'll say. This guy has one of my, favorite little moments in the Clone Cadets episode, standing up to that bounty hunter, this and that, and that's how, that's my name, cut up and everything. That's a great moment. And then, poof, he's a red shirt.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's fine. Someone was like shaking my fist, but just like, oh, man, poor cut up. I want to know more about cut up.
Yeah, and I mean, since that other episode is, I believe, season 3, like, there's definitely time to go, like, let's introduce these characters. Hey, remember that guy who died immediately?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's make people care about him.
Yeah, it's good. It makes, kind of going on what I was talking up top, is it does make, for me, Clone Cadets more of a heartwarming, effective episode. Whatever the intention, whatever the out of the order, however the story, I almost don't care. Just like how I'm feeling right now on this journey. It's like, all right, that makes me just really appreciate that Clone Cadets episode even more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so there is you questioned the level of pain you had for cut up.
I did.
Or disliked it. It took you out of the episode. The pause just, to mourn cut up.
Yeah. Just a little pang.
Okay, and what about these rumblings that I'm feeling, disturbance in the Obi-Wan force? What's that about?
This isn't a question in terms of story. That would go against, or in terms of the creation. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I often champion of like, hey, characters do things. There's plot points and story things that are there that are to frustrate you, and you can learn from them there. So I want to make sure I practice what I preach here on that this isn't a looking at the man with the cowboy hat and saying you did wrong. I think there was the particular quote you mentioned it, but if something was wrong, Cody would have contacted us. And I'm like, Ben, Obi-Wan, buddy, hey, Han, Booby, like, that's your first clue that something's wrong. Like, what are you doing here? And great discussion points earlier. Love to get into it here, but just like, I love Obi-Wan. I consider him the poster child for Jedi perfection, which doesn't mean he is perfect, but just means like, they're like, hey, be like Obi-Wan. Right. And it's just like, you're sitting there just staring out the window, get down there. They're literally saying we could use a Jedi right now. Get down there. You could feel it. Use the force. Turn off the you're the one who tells Luke. Maybe this is why he tells Luke in the X-Wing cockpit, use the force, not that thing. Don't do like I did over the Rishi Moon there. So it just got me thinking about that stuff, which actually means I question this moment. This might end up being my favorite moment in the show because it makes me think deeper about the Star Wars characters and moments I love. So that's where I'll start.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And I think there are going to be moments that come up. I think for me in the Clone Wars, it has some of the just incredibly great, rich stuff with Obi-Wan and many other Jedi. But I think there are some moments in the Clone Wars where we get to see the flaw of the Jedi in this era. And it's really frustrating. The flaw of, well, let's just let the Force play out in moments where it feels like they should be a little bit more like Anakin, a little bit more like Ahsoka, and they should. Mm-hmm. Quickly assess and take action. They shouldn't just trust so much. I think there's like that flaw.
Yeah.
And then I think with Obi-Wan in particular, Like I was saying, I think, you know, left to his own devices, he gets creative and is a problem solver and kind of takes risks and pushes the boundaries of his mandate. But when he's in contrast to Anakin, he's often falls into, well, you know, I'll just follow the rules. I'm not going to question the council. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. He almost seems in this episode blinded by his faith in Cody that, you know, there's even that line mm-hmm. where he says, like, good man, that Cody. And like, what? They're doing their job. Mm-hmm. I trust Cody. I trust Rex. I particularly trust Cody. And they'll follow the rules and the procedures. And let's not, you know, give in to our emotions and fly off the handle. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think he does that to a point where it's a flaw. And mm-hmm. you can pull that out of the episode, but I don't think there's anything in the episode that's, you know, making that a larger issue. It just happens. Mm-hmm. And you can, I think if you're as deep into Star Wars as you and I are, as we watch this, you can make it a part of the larger story. Yeah. But just watching this one episode, it and I think there are other moments like this in Clone Wars that can be frustrating because it's like, Obi-Wan, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Do something. Mm-hmm. I see it and enjoy it as a larger part of his character yeah. and a criticism of him at times, not being as intuitive or flexible or proactive as he maybe should be. But I kind of I like it for those reasons. And I'm also like, come on.
Yeah. Well, I love engaging it on that level. Something we love doing here at Force Center. It's like, again, it's probably just you're putting a script and a story together, and like you know you can't because you know you can't have the Jedi involved because that's the point of your episode or one of the points of the episode, right? So, well, but here they are doing this. So it's maybe a bit of a writing device. But I love engaging with it as something these characters did, and it frustrates me, and that's good. That's good.
Yeah. I think there's also just like this philosophical thing where, you know, we get to see over the whole course of the Clone Wars that Anakin has this, you know, attachment to the clones and they reciprocate because he's, you know, right there in action with them. Mm. And it's clear that he cares about them. And obviously we know that Anakin, there's some great things about attachment and there's some dangerous things about attachment. And Obi-Wan pretty consistently, he's caring towards the clones. He obviously, you know, admires Cody, but you know, as we said before, Obi-Wan can be kind of like the company man and he follows the rules. And there is this really consistent through line of, I respect them. They have a job to do and they're doing it. That's the way I conduct myself as a Jedi. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, goes all the way through to that, the great battle of Coruscant where yep. Anakin wants to go back and save the clones. And Obi-Wan has said, you know, they're doing their job so we can do ours. So I think from Obi-Wan's perspective, yep. it's this compliment and this respect of like what they're, and I think it's what's happening functionally in this episode of Anakin and Obi-Wan are supposed to be searching for Grievous mm-hmm. and not rushing off because they think about there's some problem.
Yeah.
In some ways, I think it's Obi-Wan having trust in Cody and saying he's doing his job so we can keep doing ours of searching for Grievous. Mm-hmm. Oh, whoops. Yeah. I've made a terrible mistake.
But a huge mistake. Yeah. No, I always defer to you on Obi-Wan lessons there, but I'm mm-hmm. here for all of it there. And I love that you brought up the Battle of Coruscant moment. It does tie to that. It is that emotional canon we love. So yeah, I'm there for that.
Yeah, no, please. I highly encourage questioning Obi-Wan because he certainly does make some mistakes. It's part of the reason that I think he's a really interesting character.
Yeah. Who would want a Jedi that just nails it every time?
Or yeah, any, I guess any, the galaxy, character. But besides that.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, just in terms of viewer, I don't know. Sometimes that's yeah. maybe a different podcast.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for bringing up an Obi-Wan concern so we could spend time on yeah. Obi-Wan, even though he's not in this episode that
right?
much. I did feel really validated when it became, when the signal disappeared and Anakin was like, we have to go. And Obi-Wan was like, yes. It's like, okay, good.
Well, yeah, and look, to his credit. He's got some regulations and beliefs, but when it becomes apparent and maybe it's time to act, he will do that.
Yeah, yeah. So this isn't a dislike. This is kind of a questioning, wanting to wrestle with and examine the episode a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about Heavy's death because, like, Heavy has this great through line where, you know, he is eager for action. He wants to be on the front lines. He's, mm-hmm. you know, bored by looking at the same screen where nothing is happening. He gets this cool moment where, you know, he wants the big heavy gun. He's proficient with it. And he gets chided with a quote of a big gun doesn't make a big man.
Right.
And then he makes that big choice to fight through and to sacrifice himself. Do you think that he had to sacrifice himself, or do you think that there was another way out? Do you think that he made a mistake by sacrificing himself?
My gut instinct is no, but I'm always going to want to, you know, I want to hope they're going to look for other ways in real life as well. So I hope, but yeah, I would side on the, in that moment, I don't think he sees any other way, and he goes with what he feels he has to do.
Yeah. I think that's the way I felt about it, of that was a part of the point of the arc of, like we talked about earlier, and you said really well that, you know, he feels bored and like this is just another, you know, that he made it through being a clone cadet and now he's just stuck on this really boring job and there's a real war out there that he's supposed to be fighting. But now this is the most important war, and that line of a big gun doesn't make a big man, it seems like he has that epiphany when he throws it away and realizes like, oh, it's this kind of act that makes you, you know, really be who you are, is, you know, choosing what's most important to you.
Yeah. That's big. Choosing what's most important to you in this moment. And it's a gut reaction. It's a, you know, I don't know. It's like go to Obi-Wan. I remember even as a kid, it's like that death affects me as a kid, as it should. That's the lesson, right? But like, keep hacking with your blade, man. You know, like maybe you can get a shot in. But, you know, I know the stormtroopers are coming and, you know, that takes some focus. I get it. You know, I get it, especially as you get older. And then, you know, the moment itself takes on new meaning when you dig into the themes. But yeah, no, so I'm with you. Not likening your thoughts now to me as a 7-year-old, but, you know, it, but that's, again, that's why it's to me connected to that bigger thing. And the cost of it. And maybe he didn't. You know, maybe he didn't. And that's always going to be in the back of Fives and Echo's mind. You know, we lost Heavy and maybe we didn't have to. It's part of the scars.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just, it's interesting. Credit where credit is due. I read the great recap that Kristen Baver wrote. And her recaps are always really great. And she really pulled out did Heavy have to sacrifice himself, which I think is a really good thought and a really good question. There is this energy that they're going to go, that they would want to go back for him. And he's like, no, I got this. So I think there's room to look at it from different ways. In some ways, it's a really complete arc of, right. I was bored. I thought I wasn't important. You know, I thought a gun is what made me a valuable person. And, oh no, I see it's all these different things. I see I am important and I see I get to choose how I make my own value. So there's like a very, very clear arc, but then there is also that moment of like, well, if he had run out and rejoined with the other clones, would they, like they did for the rest of the episode, would they have been able to find a creative way to light that liquid Tabana on fire, or was that truly the only way in that moment? And yeah, I don't have a specific answer, and I feel like there's great ambiguity there.
Yeah,
and even in this show that is, you know, literally telling us what the moral is at the beginning of the episode, that there's still room for ambiguity and nuance.
There always is, just like a bigger fish and eel.
Exactly. Is there anything that we have not talked about that you wanted to touch on?
No. It's pretty much all there, even down to some of the details. Good, just a really good, compact, like you described, intimate episode. It's a great little one shot. It's really good.
Yeah. Same here. Really, really powerful. Got to talk about all the great details that we love. So let's move on to, if you could have a figure of any character from this episode, who do you want?
I mean, I don't know if this is clear. You know, sometimes I worry about stepping on your choice here, but I do think we need a commando droid in disguise figure, right?
Commando droid with removable clone helmet?
That's a tradition in Star Wars figures. So give it, and then if you want some extra points of articulation to account for that kind of wobbly in the armor walk he was doing, trying to,
it was very funny.
It's very funny. It's a low key comedy scene there, man. I wouldn't be rooting for a commando droid, but just kind of like trying to talk like that, not just sound, but talk like them. It's the difference between like, cool, you can do an impression versus like, you're a voice actor. Like it's like the droids learning that fast.
Yeah, and like, how do clone arms go? Like this?
This is great. So yeah. I'd love a figure of that.
That's great. Inspired by your choice, I would maybe say, you know, a Rex that has a commando droid puppet head on a stick.
There you go.
That would be fun. But the one I really want is I want Echo that comes with a regulation data pad.
Oh, yeah.
I want
to
be able to act out Echo sitting there and reading, doing the homework, catching up on the regs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see some regs. Clone regs.
Who doesn't love action figures with regs?
Yeah.
Ken, what should the moral of this episode of our podcast be?
I've been tossing this over in my brain here a couple times. I think it should be in the game of talking Star Wars, your experiences is only as good as your last episode.
That's very, very good. We are all experienced at times, and we're all shinies at times.
There you go.
Every moment of every day, we might suddenly find ourselves still being a shiny, right? Ken, where can people find you and all of your great adventures in the world?
Yeah, hey, go to kennapsack.com to follow me and find things, shows. Get the show at the Viper Room if you happen to be listening. At the day of release on September 5th, 2020, we'll be doing comedy live at the Viper Room. It's a virtual thing, so you can buy a ticket anywhere in the world. Go to markellislive.net for those. And since stay tuned for hopefully some more show announcements as well.
Nice, nice. You go to the Viper Room from anywhere in the world is a pretty great deal. For Force Center, of course, you can find us all the normal places. Just search Force Center on almost all social media and you will find us, and anywhere that you get podcasts, like where you probably got the one you're already listening to. And of course, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can go to Patreon and look for our Force Center page. For myself, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for my other comedy podcast, Obsessed. And of course, comedy albums, comedy book, all sorts of other stuff. That's on josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, I've got to go start my new podcast, Upset. So for myself, for Ken, for poor Cut Up, this has been the Clone Wars Report.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.